Please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. I'll be reading in a moment, but I'll be reading throughout the message. So just stay there. We'll be going through these first seven Proverbs, sections of those Proverbs, as they teach us about the principles of fatherly wisdom and what such wisdom as that means to and for your children. It's not done in a vacuum. It's to your children, it's for your children. We'll be taking a look at that, and may God bless it. Let's ask His blessing on our message this evening. Father, we thank You once again for the opportunity to learn more and more about what it means to see a biblical headship, biblical leadership, Father's loving leadership in a home, and what that means for the well-being of the home and well-being of society as well. Give us wisdom in this and open the Proverbs to us that we may learn from You this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we had kids, I remember thinking that this is going to be just great. Don't get me wrong, it is. It was. I also thought it's going to be a breeze. I got everything necessary to get this one down pat. It's going to be a piece of cake. It's going to be so much fun. For some reason, though, I also remember one of my first thoughts when I was holding our eldest daughter, Shoshana, for the first time, and just looking at her and seeing her. I was looking at this beautiful little person. My heart was just totally filled with love. And my thought was, uh-oh, what do I do now? I just realized there's so much ahead of me. And am I ready for it? I think the one thing that might be the most important is that sense of love captured, continued, persistent throughout your life and throughout your life while you have the opportunity with your children is something never to lose. In that moment, though, that I just mentioned, I realized that I knew very little. This is what it really was. I knew very little about being a parent. And my next thought was that what I thought I did know, I had very little basis for assuming that I really knew, because I had no basis for that knowledge. And with that as a background, I think that you can call this message this evening, what do you do now? Or, from another way of looking at fatherhood, seven principles of fatherly wisdom for you in raising your children, and what it means, what these principles mean to and for your children. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, we read these words, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head, and they will be a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them." The first principle of spiritual wisdom is do not be enticed. First principle, spiritual wisdom, is this: do not be enticed. It means do not be seduced by arguments given to you to do what is wrong. For example, the girl who is told, "You should sleep with me because you know I love you." I don't know how many, I don't want to say millions, but it's probably tens of millions have fallen for that line. Or the boy who is told, "Come on along with us. We can lie in wait for someone's blood." It might be put differently in our vernacular today, but you get the picture. I'll give you an example in a minute. Let's waylay some harmless soul. You know what it is today? It hit me as I was reading to you and refreshing you with that passage from Proverbs. I think today it would be presented this way. See that old man on the street there? He ain't going to do nothing. You go and you just reach behind him and give him a shot and he will be on the ground. Now, you might say, why would anyone do that? Well, that's a new game. I can't remember what it's called. They have a name for this game, the knockout, where you just find someone on the street, a victim. They're not a victim. You make them into a victim and you hit the person and boom, they're out. And the idea is to see if you can do it with one shot. And whether it's that or whether it's more directly related to exactly what's being spoken of here, it's the same idea. The idea is don't do these things. Don't let yourself be enticed to bring harm to someone else. Don't let yourself be enticed to bring harm to yourself because you believe a lie that someone tells you, I love you, let's go to bed with each other. No, you don't do that unless you're married to the person. Then they don't need to give you a line. I mean, it's a different situation entirely. This is where you're bringing harm to yourself. A godly father teaches his children to make sure to not get involved in evil, at least to present it in such a way that they know what's going on. They know good from evil, and they keep from evil. They keep from evil, they keep from sin, they keep from sinful behavior. They're being taught to see past the seeming harmless sounding arguments and to avoid evil, to avoid sin, and instead to follow God and walk in His ways. The narrow way, as it's called in the Gospels. Your wisdom, and you apply your heart to understanding. If you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for as for hidden treasure, then you will understand something. What is it you'll understand? You'll understand the fear of the Lord, which, by the way, in chapter 1 is the beginning of wisdom. And you will find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. That's what happens. That's the application of receiving and accepting biblical counsel from your father who's training you in the ways of the Lord. You need to be teaching. You see, fathers need to be teaching biblical instruction to their children. And to do that, you know what that means? It means that you need what? If you're going to teach biblical instruction, what do you need? You need to know the Bible. You need to be engaged in prayer-filled study of God's Word. And the children, your children need from your youngest days to seek after and to delight in godly knowledge and understanding. The third principle comes from the third chapter, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. This third principle of a father's wisdom is to make sure you don't forget. Do not forget my teaching. Making sure you don't forget what you've learned and what you've learned from your fathers. Why? Well, verse 2 gives the reason. For they will prolong your life many years and they will bring you prosperity. The application of such remembrance is seen in verses 3 through 12. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind love and faithfulness, that's God's commandments that your father has taught you, those things, bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. In other words, keep them close. You need to see them. You want to write them. You want to know them. You want to memorize them. You want to store them up in your heart. And here's the result. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and of man. And here's some of the commands next that come in that passage that you need to remember. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Or, do not be wise in your own eyes. There's another thing to not forget. Don't think of yourself more highly than you are. You see, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Shun evil. What does this do? This brings health to your body. It brings nourishment to your bones. Another one. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. It's amazing. The first fruits, the tithe. You give that and God is saying, you're going to be blessed. He's going to bless you. Don't give it so you say, I want to get blessing now, so I'm going to be giving my first fruits to you. No. Do what's right. And God's saying, this leads to blessing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father the son He delights in. There's going to be discipline. It's okay. It's good. We need discipline. We need discipline because discipline is training. This is what we are all to be doing. And fathers, we are also to be teaching our children to remember to trust God in all things, to put God first in their life, to accept God's rebuke, to accept God's correction, to accept God's discipline, and to give to God the first fruits of all our labors. The fourth principle comes from Proverbs 4, verses 1 and 2. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. Now, this fourth principle of what wisdom is, to not forsake what you have heard and what you have remembered. To not forsake what you've heard. To not forsake what you've remembered. In other words, not just to remember what you've been taught that's good and right and true, but to put it into action, to follow it. And the text goes on to point out that honoring your father, who teaches you the truth, brings you life. The result is seen in verses 6 through 9. Do not forsake wisdom. Wisdom will protect you. Love wisdom. She'll watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs you everything that you have, get understanding. Understanding and wisdom are two ideas of the same thing. Esteem wisdom, esteem understanding, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. If you follow the truth, if you follow God, if you follow His word, then He will grant you protection. He will grant you understanding. He will grant you blessing in your life. This is what you need for the blessing of God. You need to follow God, to follow His word, to follow His truth. The consequences of embracing wisdom are stated even more clearly in verses 10 through 15 of Proverbs 4. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let instruction go. Guard instruction well, because it's your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. The fifth chapter of Proverbs. Fifth principle is seen in Proverbs 5, 1 and 2. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion. That is, maintain a sense of what's right in the face of evil, and your lips may preserve knowledge. This fifth principle of wisdom is to pay attention to your fathers. Why? Listen to verses 2 through 12 and put it together here. So that you may maintain direction. That means to maintain the direction you're supposed to be on and the purpose that you're supposed to be on. And your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she's bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths are crooked, but she knows it not. Now then, my sons, listen to me. In other words, giving the scenario, and he says, now listen. You got the picture? Listen to what's involved here. Do not turn aside from what I say. In other words, I'm saying it again. Make sure you pay attention to me. Keep to a path far from that kind of behavior or that kind of person who would lead you into that kind of sin. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your best strength to others and your years to one who is cruel, lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toil winds up getting someone else to be rich in another man's house. At the end of your life, you're going to groan when your flesh and body are spent. You're going to say, I hated discipline. Oh, hated it. My heart spurned correction. Paying attention to what your father taught you and advised you, you know what it does? It keeps you from straying into all kinds of evil. Your parents were teaching you, your father's teaching you to avoid these snares and these sins. You don't need to learn everything the hard way. Instead, you can avoid a lot of snares and a great deal of trouble by listening to the godly advice of your father. The sixth chapter, the sixth principle from Proverbs 6:1. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have struck hands and pledged for another, you know what that is? You know what striking your hands and pledge for another is? What is it? Who knows what it is? What's that? It's more than giving your word about something. It's giving your word and saying that I will what? What? Honor you, the money that you're giving to this person. I'll pay for it if he or she doesn't pay it back. That's what it's saying. And he's saying, don't be stupid. Don't do that. That's not something to do. I was sorry that Dave Johnston wasn't here tonight. I was hoping when I was working on this that he was going to be here. And he's here every now and then. David got into this for a guy that he worked with, the guy that he helped. The guy said, look, I'm going to take care of this. They won't sell me this $20,000 car. This was about 20 years ago, so that was a pretty expensive vehicle. And David co-signed for him. And the guy just took off with it, and that was it. And David had to pay it back. And it's just a lesson. It happens, even when you think, that person would never do that to me. It's a really nice person. They would never do that. Oh, really? You mean a nice person that you're like, oh, it'll never stab you in the back. Oh, well. That's not what it's talking about here. It's a very different picture here. It's saying, listen to your father. Your father's got wisdom. He's going to tell you, don't do something like that. It's going to get you in trouble. See, here what we have is actually a very serious matter. Because this sixth principle of a father's wisdom has to do ultimately with not being stupid, careless, or lazy in your thinking about what you can do with whatever God's given you, the resources you have. When it comes to things that if you're not careful or carefully consider, doing the wrong thing can actually wind up destroying you. You can wind up spending the rest of your life paying it off. Listen to verses 1 through 5. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you've struck hands in pledge for a neighbor, if you've been trapped then by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, then do this. Here's what you do. Listen, my son. You do this to free yourself. Since you've fallen into your neighbor's hands, that's what you've done now. You have fallen into your neighbor's hands. Go and humble yourself. Press your plea with your neighbor. In other words, I'm sorry, I can't do this. I'm asking you to let me off of this. And if your neighbor says to you, no, man, you already signed this one. You've already learned what's coming down the pike for you, that you're going to be in big trouble. But this is what God's saying. If you made this and it's a mistake and it's just a careless mistake, if you were careless in your stupidity, then go and try and get out of it the best you can. And how intense should it be? Don't even go to sleep before you dealt with this. Here's the exact words in the text. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. See, here, what we're being taught by our Father is not to be careless or stupid in entering into contracts or situations that cannot be mutually worked out, but that only can be one thing for us, destructive, self-destructive. And if you have already entered such a situation, then get out of it immediately, all the while remembering as you extricate yourself from situations that can destroy you, that there are worse circumstances than all of that. Even those, there are worse circumstances. What's worse than getting yourself into trouble like that? We read in verses 16 and 19 in chapter 6, there are six things that the Lord hates, that's worse. Seven, that are detestable to God. Haughty eyes, in other words, pride, a lying tongue, hands that shed blood, that's innocent blood, that's a murderer. A heart that devises wicked schemes. In other words, someone in their wickedness is going to trap and destroy someone else by their scheme. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. In other words, people who just delight in bringing harm and wickedness. A false witness, a total lie. It's worse than a liar. It says a lying tongue. This is a legally lying tongue. This is someone who under oath bears false witnesses. This one was a capital punishment if you did this in a courtroom. And that's what it's speaking about here. A false witness who pours out lies. And the last is a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. In other words, one who goes around from person to person, getting people divided, getting people hating. You ever seen anything like that? It's quite remarkable when you see it. Quite remarkable, quite horrible. And it happens. In some of the places you think it never would happen or never could happen or never should happen. God hates it. And we should make, in other words, doubly sure that we don't engage in any of these six, but there are actually seven things that God hates. They're evil. And the question is simple. How can you guard your heart from evil? Notice what we read in verses 20 through 23. How do you guard your heart? My son, keep your father's commands. My son, do not forsake your mother's teachings. My son, bind them upon your heart forever. My son, fasten them around your neck. So that when you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they'll watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. Because these commands are light. They're like a lamp, he says. And this teaching is a light. And the corrections of discipline, what are they? He says, the corrections of discipline are the way of life. They are life for you. God's words, God's commands, God's teaching, they keep you from immorality. The things we've looked at in these earlier chapters, from immorality, from lust, from prostitution, from adultery, from a merciless punishment when you're caught in such evil and such sin as this. So listen to your father and your mother when they steer you away from such things. You're going to be tempted to think, oh, what do you know? You guys, you're really nice, but you're old and stupid. I'm young and I know all this stuff. But they're not smart. Because if they think that way, they're showing that they're really very stupid. They don't know what they're saying and they're going to get in trouble. You see, remember that these people who you may think are old and stupid are your parents who love you more than anyone else in the world loves you and may ever love you. And they want to keep you from some of the hazards that almost destroyed them when they were young and probably didn't know Jesus Christ and thought, I don't want to listen to my parents, they're old and stupid. And they're trying to see that you make better decisions than they made and realize they have something actually that can help you with. And God here is affirming that, saying, yes, they do. Listen to your parents. Seven, our seventh and our final principle for godly fathers to teach their children is found in Proverbs 7, where we read in verses 1 through 4, my son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings. Guard them as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. Call understanding your kinsman. You see, the goal of this chapter, as is the goal of the entire book of Proverbs, is to see you keep the commandments of God, which here are called my commands, meaning the Father's commands. The idea here is that the commands of the Father are to be the commands of God. The child's purpose is to keep the commands of God delivered to him in love by his Father. Once again, listen to verses 1 through 4. Listen to this. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commandments and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind my commands on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. In other words, have them deep, embedded deep within your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your kinsman. As fathers, we are to teach our children the things of God. We are to teach them the ways of God. We are to teach them the commands of God. We're not to do this as dictators. We're not to do this as tyrants. But rather, we do this as fathers who want our children to live and love and know the shelter of Jesus Christ, so that our goal of seeing their hearts turn to Christ happens, and to see their feet walking in God's ways happens, because this is what will bring them life and blessing. And that's what we want for our children. So let them know that you're teaching them this way of life, because all you want for them is blessing. And this really is the way to blessing. Many won't believe you. They'll turn away. They'll go with their friends and says, come on, there's some people lying in wait there. We can get their money. One punch, knock out, grab wallet, we're on our way. No, you don't do it. You don't live listening to these people. Your father has warned you. Pastor has warned you. Your parents have warned you. You're warned. You know these things will bring you destruction. The ultimate reality concerning wisdom, though, is found in the next chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8, where wisdom, in effect, summarizes everything that's been taught. I love those who love me. That's wisdom speaking, which is God, who is wise, who is wisdom. I love those who love me. Verse 17. Blessed are those who keep my way. That's what wisdom is saying. Verse 32. And the final word, though, is this. All who hate me, speaking of wisdom, but in its more clear, full sense, what wisdom ultimately is, God Himself. All who hate me, that is wisdom, and God, love death. Look at our culture, what we've become. A death-loving culture. Death to the unborn, death to the aged, death to the sick, death to the infirm, death to the handicapped. The consequences of not being wise and not following God is death. So, men, our greatest priority as fathers is to teach our children wisdom, true wisdom, godly wisdom, because wisdom is what they need from us, a wisdom that leads them to Jesus. All this being said, let me add that being a father is not easy. Being a godly father is even more difficult, but this is what we're called to be. We are to reflect God the Father in our families. And to do this, we need God's help. For us to teach our children wisdom, we must be wise ourselves. And to be wise, we must know God. We must know God through our possession of a living faith in Jesus Christ. Because as we read in Colossians 3:2, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Him. So men, make sure that those treasures are yours. Because then, those will be the treasures that you will pass on to your children. That will be your legacy to them. It will be the best legacy that you could ever leave for them. And so may God grant you, and grant through you, that our children will grow up to know Christ, to love Christ, to live for Christ, to be like Christ, and to live forever in Christ. A final reality for the children. They're young. There are some older children. Today is a day, and it may be the only day for all I know in the entire year, that you may even think seriously about your dad. Someone came up to me after this morning and said to me, "I guess after hearing you today, I better send the card to my dad." I didn't get to say it, but I thought about it later. If you do, that's going to be too late for today. You should be sending a phone call. But you know what I'm going to do about that? See, I remember who it was, and I'm going to call that person still today to make that call. See, I'm saying you do this because it's the easiest thing in the world is to take your dad for granted. After all, he's there for you. He may always be there as the kind of person who's helping you and loving you. And so, for much of your life, you don't even think of your father. But if you do want to honor your father today, then take the wisdom that comes from him and live it. That will be the greatest honor you can bring to your father. And as the same book of Proverbs says, from its opening words onward, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if that fear is yours, it won't bring you harm, but rather it will bring you into a saving relationship with Jesus. It will bring you life. It will bring you faith. It will bring you Christ. And it will bring you your Father's joy. May God bless you and your fathers this day. Father, we thank you for fathers who loved us, and we thank you for the fathers who taught us about Christ. God bless the fathers and the mothers of the children here. All have those possessors of those gifts. And may it be a gift that has been a blessing, not a cursing. So go with us, keep us, and make us to be, the men here to be, wonderful, godly fathers who live and speak and act in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.